you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near.
Reading from John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." It is Wednesday, September 13th, 2023. It's going to be a Testimony Wednesday today, listening friend. And I have a new pastor friend in the studio with me. And I have to say, or I'll preface it, Paul Isvold, Paul and Carolyn for that matter. I just love those two. They're faithful followers of Jesus, very involved with this radio ministry. Well, Paul the other day said, "Mark, Pastor John wants to help get the word out about a unique thing that's going on at our church. They have this Biblical Studies Institute, and they want to help Christians develop a Christian worldview. Is there a chance that he could come in?" And I said, "Paul, I'd do anything for you." So Pastor John, thank you for joining us. And I know Paul and Carolyn, and for that matter, Elijah, who's our summer intern, attend the Springfield Bible Church. I guess you've served there for 40 years?
I've been there for 40 years.
Wow.
And thank you for having me in this morning.
Well, I'm excited. We had a little show prep time. You got in here early and we got to talk through some of your faith journey, some of the passions you have about teaching and proclaiming God's word, and how I guess your son is also pastoring at Springfield Bible Church.
Absolutely. And great. Doing a great job.
Well, Paul loves you. The community members that I know that I've asked about Springfield Bible Church says, "Oh, we love our pastor. He's doing a great work." But you have an interesting take on this verse. And so we're going to start out with 1 John 1:29. And you say it kind of sums up the gospel message or all the verses in the Bible in one verse. So talk about John 1:9, which is the verse I opened up with today.
The reason why I like that verse so much is having taught through the Bible for many years, I think there are three big questions the Bible seeks to answer. The first one is, who is Jesus? The second one is, what did he do? The third one, what must I do? And so, who is Jesus? Well, he's God the Son. The second question, what did he do? He died on the cross to pay my penalty. The third one, what must I do? I must believe or trust in the Lord Jesus. So as I studied the Bible over the years, I thought to myself, you know, I'd like to find one verse that answers all three questions. And I've had several good candidates or prospective verses, but I could find several that had two answers, but not three. And I just kept looking, you know, John 3:16, 2 Corinthians 5:19, Isaiah 61:1. But with John 1:29, it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And I thought to myself, you know, that's great because it gives me the first two. In other words, who is Jesus? The Lamb of God. What did he do? Took away the sin of the world by dying on the cross. But I thought, I just wish that I could find one with all three. Well, one day my wife Gracie was looking at the verse and I was telling her my dilemma here. And she said, "It's right there." And I said, "What do you mean it's right there?" I said, "Well, the verse says, behold or look." In other words, behold is what I must do, or look. And what we mean by behold or look is to believe or look to Jesus on the cross. So I think John 1:29 really is a great theme verse for the whole Bible because it answers the question, who is Jesus, the Lamb of God? What did he do? Took away the sin of the world by dying on the cross. What must I do? I must believe in the Lord Jesus or look to him as my Savior. Mm-hmm. I think the one verse answers all three big questions.
Yeah, that's going to give you some food for thought today, listening friend. It's John chapter 1, which is a great gospel account of the life of Jesus. If you've never read the Bible before, I strongly encourage you, start in John. I think all of God's Word is inspired and useful. Maybe the Psalms could be helpful or the Proverbs, but the Gospel of John is a firsthand account of the life of Jesus. And this verse, I'm going to read it one more time. It's John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he can take away your sin. He delights in you. He created you. He fashioned you. He has plans and purpose for your life. And that's something, Pastor John, that you get to preach and proclaim. What would you say are your favorite parts about pastoring at Springfield Bible Church?
Well, obviously, I like to teach the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a great privilege. So we preach or go through books of the Bible. Mm-hmm. We right now are in the book of 2 Samuel. We went all the way through 1 Samuel mm-hmm. recently. I have the privilege of preaching with my son now, too, who's been a pastor there for about 10 or 11 years. And so we've preached together through the Gospel of Luke, through the book of Acts, 1 Samuel, now 2 Samuel. So at one point, I didn't know that you could really preach through a series with somebody else, but I found out it's been pretty seamless. We really have enjoyed it. We talk to each other about the passages sometimes. You know, he can give me an insight. Perhaps I give him an insight. Mm-hmm. But it's been a lot of fun to do that. And we have a lot of wonderful people there who are encouraging.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned a reference, Gracie, being used of God to bless you or to help bring maybe greater insight into this verse. What other gift sets does she have, and how did you first meet?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think we have enough time to go through the answer to all of that question. But she, and you know, it sounds kind of canned to say this, but she really does love to study the Bible herself. She teaches some classes for women. She likes to work with children, too, and even has taught Backyard Bible Club. Mm-hmm. So she's involved in a lot of different things, meets one-on-one with people. So really, she's a pastor as well in that she is pastoring and ministering to people. We actually met on a blind date in college. I knew we went to the same church, and her sister was dating my roommate, and so he asked me if I wanted to go out with her. Well, I had seen her at church, and I certainly did want to go out. I'm not sure she got the good end of the deal. I know I did. Sure. But anyway, we met on a blind date.
And now married 43 years and a son that's a pastor, so it sounds like you're doing well. What else would you like our listeners to know about Pastor John Standard or Springfield Bible Church?
I would say that Springfield Bible Church, we really do try to teach the Bible. I feel like people who come to our church feel like our church is friendly. People are encouraging. I guess those would be the two big things, that we do try to teach the Bible, and we go through books of the Bible. And I think the people there really do have a genuine concern for when people come in. They are a friendly church. As far as, Mark, what the listener might want to know about me, I grew up in Springfield, went to Louisiana State University, went to Dallas Seminary. I grew up, went to church, had a good family, but honestly, Mark, I really never understood the gospel. I believe that if you were basically a good person, if your good deeds outweighed your bad deeds, maybe you'd sneak into heaven, and I wasn't too concerned about that either way. And when I went to college for the first time, I heard really the gospel, or at least the first time I understood it, that salvation was a free gift because Jesus did the work for me. So I would say, I'm from here, been here a long time, but I'm excited and wanted to preach the gospel because at least in my life, I could think back, I didn't really understand it myself. So that's really what I wanted to do.
And we're going to come back to this because you have some exciting things at the Springfield Bible Church through your Biblical Studies Institute, Developing a Christian Worldview. So I want to talk about that before the end of the program. But I had asked you, what would you say to a non-believer or a seeker that's tuned in today? Because with our 19 frequencies, some of our frequencies between rock and roll stations, people scanning the dial, somebody might have been landed. I would call it a divine appointment. So if you're tuned in today and maybe you've never heard Christian radio before and you're like, wow, this is kind of novel. They're talking about you can have a relationship with God, and I don't know about that. I've never been exposed to who this Jesus Christ is. But what would you want the non-believer or maybe the seeker to know today?
What I would say to that person here, and we're glad that you're listening today, and what I would like you to know might be a little surprising, because the first thing I'd like you to know is with regard to forgiveness, that there's nothing you can do to be forgiven. On the other hand, I'd like you to know the good news is Jesus Christ did everything for you to be forgiven. And so often when we talk to people, if you were asked them why God should let them into heaven, they would say, well, because I try to be good, I try to keep the Ten Commandments, I try to keep the Golden Rule. But notice in those answers, they all use the word I, subject, they're trusting in themselves. Then they say tried, and tried means that you really haven't done it. And then they give some sort of a moral code. And so what I would say is there's nothing we can do because we failed to keep that moral code perfectly. But the good news is, though, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, that Jesus Christ paid your penalty. He paid the price. So that if God were to ask you why he should let you into heaven, I hope you will come to the point where you could say, well, there's nothing I can do, but I believe Jesus did everything for me on the cross, paid my penalty, and I am trusting in him as my Savior. And then you receive salvation as a free gift through faith alone.
And that's a hard concept for many people, or for some people, because, well, I've lived a good life. I've done some good things. Yeah, I don't attend church on a regular basis, but I'm there for Easter and Christmas. And, you know, I've donated time to different organizations. And I'm not like that bad Hitler or these other people. I've never killed anyone. I've been faithful to my wife. I'm a good person. Doesn't that qualify for me to get to heaven?
Well, those are interesting points that you bring up. And in one sense, I'm certainly not saying that everybody out there is equivalent to some mass murderer at all, because that's not true. And as you've said, many times people do good and gracious things. But what we would say, though, is that if we look at the Ten Commandments, no one has kept the Ten Commandments perfectly 24/7 their whole life. And we do need to have forgiveness. So what we're saying here is that no one is perfect except Jesus, but he's the one who paid the penalty so that we can be forgiven. So that would be a need that we all have. And I think each person who is honest and sincere recognizes that there have been times when they've fallen short. There have been times when they haven't done what they thought they should do. But the good news is, though, that's why God sent his Son to pay the penalty that everyone can be forgiven. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah, and it also says, for all have sinned, so none of us are perfect. If we are perfect, we could get in, but only Jesus was perfect. And thank you, God, that he sent him as the method, the means, the mechanisms for us to enter into heaven. It's surrendering our sin state to him, asking Jesus into our hearts, recognizing we need a Savior, recognizing we've fallen short, recognizing we can't earn our way in. It's a free gift, but it's a gift that we have to receive. And as you summed up one Bible verse, that John 1:29, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the way that we can have that eternal life. So you mentioned in college it became a reality. Did your Bible reading from that point on become more intimate or interesting? And I ask that because there's some people that they try to read the Bible and it doesn't make sense, or they've never come to the point of asking Jesus into their heart, but it's like, it's archaic, or I don't understand this. It's too mysterious. So when did the Bible become like real and living and active for you?
Well, I might answer your question by saying all of the above in a sense, because I never read the Bible. So obviously, I didn't have any Bible reading really to compare to. But I was invited to a church service, heard the gospel for the first time, was very interested, and then began to read the Bible. Then the church actually followed up with me. I would meet with a man there, and sometimes I'd read the Bible, write down questions, and then I'd go talk to the pastor. You know, I'd be like, he'd let me loose for a couple of months, write down questions, meet with him again, and he'd try to help answer my questions. So I think at that point, I started to really read the Bible, and God used the Bible in my life.
Well, I love the name of your church, Springfield Bible Church. I grew up learning the Bible, reading the Bible, valuing the Bible, seeing it as God's inspired word, helpful for guiding, leading, but most of all, helping us understand the mind of God, the heart of God, who God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus made that profound statement, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's kind of a mystery. He's fully God, fully man, and yet the Bible accounts for knowledge, for wisdom, for insight, to understand how God responds to his people and his care and his compassion for all. And so you love preaching and proclaiming God's word. And for you listening, friend, maybe you've never read the Bible. Maybe it's sat on a bookshelf or coffee table with dust on it. Let me encourage you today to just pick it up. Ask God to guide you and lead you. Entertain the idea that he cares, that he's written this to profit you, to benefit you, to bless you, that he does delight in you, he cares for you. He sent Jesus, he sent his best, so he's demonstrated his love in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So you can't earn your way into heaven, but I'd encourage you, read the Bible, take a chance, just begin reading, and then talk to people about it, see what their take is, or certainly attend Springfield Bible Church where they preach God's word. And you have this Sunday, it's over a number of weeks, but talk about the Biblical Studies Institute, why you wanted to develop that, and then the special series called Developing a Christian Worldview.
Well, we have obviously a desire to build up our people, and we'd like to have a positive influence in Springfield as well. So we're beginning a series, Developing a Christian Worldview, and we're going to have that on Sunday evenings from 6 to 7:30, and that will be for 6 weeks. And we have a gentleman, Sam Swisher, who is a professor at Hannibal LaGrange College, and he's going to be our teacher. So we think it's an opportunity to bring this to Springfield. I hope that we will be able to bring more classes, but this is the first one we're going to try. It's not a college-level class, but it is a more advanced class. And again, there will be a curriculum. People, if they're interested, could go to our website, springfieldbible.org, and they could register there if they're interested.
That's springfieldbible.org. That's springfieldbible.org. And Springfield Bible Church is located at 2060 Westchester, right here in Springfield. Now, the series has begun, but it's going to continue, and I would highly recommend you finding out more at springfieldbible.org, springfieldbible.org. It's part of their Biblical Studies Institute. And when you go by the website, as they add future classes or do other things, I think it'll be a great resource, something to invest some time in, where God will grow you, he'll equip you. And the developing a Christian worldview, it's so important that you have the knowledge, biblical knowledge, to share with those that you work with, colleagues, neighbors, friends, your family. So springfieldbible.org is the website to find out more. And John, in our closing few minutes, I'm going to ask you to pray for our listeners, for those that maybe haven't started a faith journey yet, to the senior saint that's looking towards seeing their maker and spending glory in heaven. So I'm going to ask you to pray for them. But is there anything else you would want to touch base on, maybe helping people know more about Springfield Bible Church or where they're at in their faith journey today?
Well, I'd answer that in two ways. We'd love to have you visit if you are interested. We're at services are at 8:30 and 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. We're on live stream, and we're recently going to be broadcasting on Channel 20 at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. It's a sermon only, but 11:30 on Sunday mornings. So if we can help you in any way, we'd love to do that through these broadcasts, and you could perhaps DVR that if you're interested in that. But I just want to encourage you. We did talk about the verse, Behold the Lamb of God. who takes away the sin of the world. And really, that could be a theme of the Bible, because remember when Abraham was told to offer up Isaac, Isaac said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "The Lord will provide the lamb for the burnt offering." Well, the Lord did, and that was Jesus. In Isaiah 53, it talks about the Messiah, and it says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. The Bible tells us that the Messiah is the Lamb. John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And in the book of the Revelation, it says, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." So really that theme works its way through the Bible. And I would encourage you to think, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He died for me to pay my penalty, and I trust him as my Savior. And may God encourage you with that truth. May he encourage you that he's the Lamb of God who takes away your sin when you trust in him. So thank you for listening, and let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for each one who has listened today, and we pray that you would minister to them. And friend, if you would want to pray with me, just pray simply, "Dear God, thank you for your word, and thank you that your word reveals your Son. And I have broken your commandments, but I believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and there's nothing I can do, but I believe he did everything on the cross. And I don't trust in myself or what I have done, but I trust in Jesus, that he died in my place and shed his blood to pay my penalty. And you've said, trust in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. And I trust in him, and I receive his free gift of forgiveness and eternal life." And we pray, Father, that you would bless each one who listens today. And Lord, we also remember those who have believed a long time, and you've said, "I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you." And I pray that you would encourage them today. Lord, give us all strength. Help us to look and believe, and our day of redemption is drawing near, and give us strength every day that we might finish strong. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.